Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and a break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today, a podcast coming to you every week out of the calendar year. Later in the show, we will be joined by Indiana head coach Archie Miller. And again, want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. Once again, we are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in the show. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. Today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is brought to you by Audible. Go to audible.com/CHZ and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs. So, right now, what is going on in the college basketball world? Well, finally, we are on the verge of clarity heading into next season, because Wednesday is the last day that underclassmen have to declare for the NBA draft and sign with an agent or withdraw and go back to school. So with everybody's roster pieces finally looking like they're going to take shape, we will finally have some clarity. I will put together an updated top 25, which I will reveal on social media on Thursday and then go through with you next week right here on the College Hoops Today podcast. I'll get to some key players to watch later in this show as we continue to inch closer to the deadline to obviously stay in or withdraw from the 2017 NBA draft. And again, that is Wednesday. Now, we have a coach on essentially every week here on the College Hoops Today podcast, and we've talked really since the end of the season about the new coaches in college basketball. But today's guest, Archie Miller, is a different breed of cattle because of the magnitude of the job in which he undertook. And Archie Miller did an unbelievable job at Dayton, led the Flyers to the Elite Eight in 2014, perennial NCAA tournament teams, regardless of who Dayton lost personnel-wise. But right now, and I wrote this in a column a couple of weeks ago, I think it's important for Indiana fans to temper expectations a little bit. This is an Indiana team that has lost OG Anunoby, James Blackman, and Thomas Bryant. They have a brutal early season schedule, and a lot of people are wondering if Indiana is still a blue blood, if it's still on the level of a Kentucky or a Kansas or a North Carolina or a UCLA. I'm curious, can Indiana still get the best of the best? We'll ask Archie Miller those questions coming up next right here on the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Archie Miller led Dayton to four consecutive NCAA tournaments before being named the head coach of Indiana in March. And the aforementioned head coach joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. And Coach Miller, we know that the early days as a head coach at any university are extremely stressful, but I'm curious, you take over the job at Indiana. If you were to approximate the over-under of text messages a day, what would the number be?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. There's a lot going on here. It's a tremendous place, probably as most can anticipate. There's a lot to get your hands around, just in terms of the overwhelming passion by our fans and requests, and the amount of time that's needed to be spent, trying to get 2 feet on the ground with our current staff and learning our new way and trying to teach our new way to these guys that are here. And slowly but surely, we're getting it up and running. And, I think in time, this place can be special.
The first couple of months with players that you didn't necessarily recruit is always an adjustment for any head coach. How have the early days at Indiana compared to the early days you had at Dayton when you took over that program?
Well, they're all similar. There's an awkwardness at the beginning. And then, as you start really trying to recognize, put them in a position where, their daily routine and the things that you're stressing basketball-wise, academically, off the floor, in the weight room, whatever, starts to slowly sort of become their reality. They get more comfortable, and then you with them. And I think that's sort of that. We had a good spring. We had a very receptive group of guys. I think they worked very, very hard in a short period of time. And then now that we're sort of moving into the summer, you know, this will be the real first step of, you know, them experiencing, you know, what we would call an off season. And I think that's going to be a big, big change as we move towards August.
You know, you did a lot of things at Dayton, went to an Elite Eight, obviously became the flagship program in the Atlantic 10, but one thing you didn't really have to do as a head coach until you left was address your players and tell them you were leaving. What was that like?
It's difficult. You know, as much as you stressed, you know, all of the things and the amount of time that you spent recruiting kids and the amount of time you spent with them every single day at Dayton, you know, we didn't have success at Dayton because we weren't all invested and everyone wasn't all on the same page. And, you know, I think the one thing is when you, you know, make this move, you know, you're going to impact a lot of people, not only your players, but your players' families, future recruits, your own families, your coaches' families, and then you're impacting the people at Indiana University in a very quick way. So it's hard. But, you know, it was very to the point. You know, I thought our guys, you know, handled it really, really well. And I think those guys are in great hands with Anthony and his staff, and I feel like they'll continue to have the same type of philosophy that we had there. And, you know, Dayton's a great place, and those guys are in great hands.
Now, you have a very systemic blueprint in how to run a program. Your brother Sean at Arizona does the same thing, as does Xavier's Chris Mack. Who gave you that type of a skeleton?
Well, I think you learn it over the course of time. You have to be yourself, and you have to learn some of the things along the way that different people gave to you that you inherited and you believe. But just in terms of running an organization or running, you know, a million-dollar company, whether it's a basketball program or it's an organization, you know, I think you have to have a plan. And, you know, our plan is very similar to the plan that was used, at, you know, when I was with Sean at the very beginning of Arizona. You know, probably a lot like Chris at Xavier. You know, he has his own philosophies and he does things, but there's an organization to it and a systematic approach to the year and how things go. And I think Sean has a heavy, heavy influence in the way that I think and the way that we did things. But, you know, now doing it myself, you know, and running a program at Dayton and then kind of restarting it and getting it to where we got to, I feel like, you know, the blueprint is very, very solid. And with different people in a different environment, we'll learn our own way around some Indiana and the Big Ten and everything. But I feel like with the organization and the approach that we'll have as a staff, as a team, you know, I think it'll be similar.
You said something interesting at your press conference. You said that when you were an assistant under Thad Mott at Ohio State, you know, one thing he told you was you don't necessarily need to spend time on plays, but you need to put that time onto your players. How much did that and the experience there influence not just what you did at Dayton, but what you're planning to do at Indiana?
Oh, a lot. You know, Thad really changed the philosophy, you know, on what coaching is about, you know, and as much as it is about winning games and organization and playing the game, so much about winning is a culture of developing your players and having to connect with them. And whether that's on the court or off the court, the amount of time you spend with them can't be expressed how important that is. And I think that being the not only thing, but one of the major imprints that he put on me was how important your players are every single day in your program, regardless of the time of year. And that'll be a big, big phase of what we've done, you know, at Dayton. It'll be a big, big phase at what we do at Indiana. You know, we have to be really, really committed to the total development of our guys. And, you know, at the end of the day, we have to feel really good about the way we connect with one another.
Well, and connecting is obviously something that you did with basketball, obviously, since you were young. You know, your father was a legendary high school coach in Western Pennsylvania. Was there ever any doubt that this was what you and your brother were going to do? Was anything else ever brought up at the kitchen table other than being a college head coach?
You know, I can't really speak for Sean. You know, Sean kind of, he got into coaching right away. And I think once he got into coaching right away, you know, I was 10 years behind him. So he had a sort of like his own path. And, you know, as I was coming up and learning the ropes, you know, I was put in a, you know, I don't want to say in the same path, but along those lines, kind of understood the business and started to learn college basketball. And it's changing every day. But at the same time, you know, I think, you know, college basketball, it was something that I played. I loved playing the game. I knew I would want to be doing something in the game. And then, you know, I think just being able to get into it early, which is very, very hard. A lot of people don't have that opportunity, and, you know, Herb Sendek gave me a chance to stay right there with those guys right after I was done playing in sort of a graduate role, and that sort of got me kickstarted. And there were a lot of other moves along the route, but definitely felt like, you know, college basketball was where, you know, I wanted to be. And, you know, becoming a head coach, you know, to be honest with you, it wasn't something that I thought a lot about. I enjoyed, you know, just sort of working with the players and recruiting, and each stop sort of developed me along the way. And as I got a little bit older, it became a realization that with some success and some of the people that I've been with, you know, I would have an opportunity maybe one day to run my own program. And it sort of happened. And then once you get it from that point forward, you know, it's not all fun and games anymore. You know what I mean? It's real life. It's hard. And you got to have good people around you, and you have to be at a place that really supports you. And I was fortunate at Dayton to have that, and I'm fortunate now to be in Indiana.
Well, and you go to Indiana, a place that's as hallowed as, you know, there is in college basketball in terms of the passion of the fans, and you have been very, very outspoken about how you're going to build the program inside out. How do you keep everybody in the state of Indiana happy and at the same time still get the best players?
Well, that's, you know, one thing you learn very fast in this business is you can't keep everybody happy. You have to be very consistent in the way you do your business and the way you, you know, you communicate with people. And I think it's really, it just comes down to, at the end of the day, how you treat people. And I think if you treat people the right way, regardless of whether they like it or not, you know, in some cases, they're going to get a feel for you as a person who's real and who's fair. And, you know, starting in the state of Indiana, which has as good of a high school basketball coaching lineage as maybe any state, you have tremendous talent in the state. You have tremendous grassroots programs in the state. You know, it's important that at IU we get great players from the state of Indiana. Now, I don't necessarily know if you can get every one of them, but we have to find a way to make this a destination for these kids.
Well, and obviously at a place like Indiana, you can recruit the best of the best, and that's what happens when you're at a blue blood program. How are you going to decide taking somebody who could be the best of the best, who may only be in school for a year or two, compared to having somebody who could be best for Indiana's program long term?
Well, I think, you know, you have to have a balance, and really it comes down to character. So many guys that come into school, if they're on their way out before they get there, they better be, you know, extra special competitors, and they better be there for the right reasons for the time that they're there. And, you know, I think some guys come to college and they're on their way out, and, you know, you never really maximize the talent. And in many ways, it's hard to build chemistry with those guys. So you have to have a balance. You have to have a delicate approach, and it's got to be the right kind of kid for Indiana and our staff. For us, we're about development. You know, I think we have to bring in guys that clearly we feel can play and help us win Big Ten championships, and at the same time watch them grow up in front of us. So I think programs need to be built, you know, especially in the Big Ten conference where guys get older as well. So I think that's an important cog for us as well.
And, you know, this is the crazy thing for me. You know, Indiana's team last year beat Carolina and Kansas, and they lost, you know, a guy who could be a first-round pick in OG Anunoby to a season-ending injury, and the expectations didn't change. How has it been dealing with the early notion that you're always going to be expected to be good, regardless of your personnel, and how has your brother Sean helped shepherd you through that process? Because he's at a school where it's very similar.
Well, I think, you know, expectations and standards at Indiana should be at the highest level, and probably a lot like Arizona. You know, once you win a national championship, and it's been experienced like it has here so many times with so many great teams, you know, the anticipation of that being the expectation and the norm, whether fair or not, you know, is accurate. You know, it should be a place that's competing on that level every year. Now, it's very difficult to do it every single year. And I think that's what you learn from a guy like Sean, is how hard it really is to win 30-some games, you know, four or five times in his career at Arizona, to be knocking on the door right there, winning Pac-12 titles. And then at the end of the day, when you come up a little short, to watch the motivation and the hunger to get back, you know, that's something that you have to be willing to do. It's a constant, everyday approach to build your program. And in some cases, with great change, you know, whether you have guys going pro or you lose guys to recruiting or whatever it may be, you have to find a way to build a roster every single year that fits that bill. And, you know, that's the challenge probably more so at an Indiana than, you know, maybe at a Dayton, because, you know, you can probably look at Dayton and say, I know who's going to be on the team, you know, a little bit year in and year out. Here, you know, things could change with guys leaving early or whatever it may be. So you have to find a way to continue to recruit hard, you know, year round.
What's the early impressions you've had of the team that you're going to coach next season with the guys that are back?
You know, it's good. You know, we have some guys that love Indiana. We have some guys that are veterans, you know, some chiseled veterans who are coming into their upper class years. And then we have three young guys who were recruited and then retained by us that I think are very talented kids who have the ability to really develop. So it's going to be, you know, what I would call a mixture of personnel. It's going to be trial by error in some ways to see who can play in our style. But I think that everybody that's here on the team has a chance to really impact our team in a big way. And I think guys with new opportunities and new expectations and the change, you know, should be motivated right now to be some of the reasons why Indiana can be good next year is because they're better players and they're different and they have a new opportunity. So, you know, I think it's going to be unique. It's going to be a fun group to work with. They have great kids. And, you know, one of the things we've learned very early here is they work very hard.
You were an assistant in the Pac-12 at Arizona, obviously, before you went to Dayton, but you're also an assistant in the Big Ten, as we talked about with Ohio State. From what you've gathered right now, what are you anticipating when you step into, obviously, the Big Ten Conference now as a head coach for the first time?
Well, I, you know, my respect level for the league starts at the top with the coaches, whether it's Coach Izzo, Coach McCaffrey, looking at Thad, you know, going down the line of these guys. It is such a well-coached, well-disciplined oil system programs that are built, you know, the right way for the Big Ten, which is execution, don't beat yourself, toughness. And it's a league that really doesn't have very margin for error. And my anticipation is the very, very toughest road venues that you can go in. It's the hardest league in America to sort of win on the road. So we're going to have to really find our niche and how we play and what we do. And we're going to have to grow. It's going to take some time to learn how we work in this league, and you know, it's exciting.
And before you get to the Big Ten, you know, you are going to have to deal with obviously a couple of big games in November, but the conference also added league games this year in early December. So probably before Christmas in the first month of the season, you're going to have probably four marquee non-league games and then obviously two conference games before you get to, you know, the break in December. How arduous a task is that going to be considering what you lost from last year's team and what you inherited?
Well, it's hard. You know, we have a very, very difficult schedule. I think we're going to be really battle-tested through the month of November. When it's all said and done, the Big Ten opening, the opening week of December with two games in 3 days, you can make the case that we'll probably, as we head into the middle of December, really have one of the more toughest schedules in the country. And what we're not going to do is lose our minds after every single game. You know, teams need a chance to develop. And I think the one thing that you have an opportunity in the Big Ten, which maybe we didn't have at Dayton, is regardless of sort of how you're doing early in the months of December, once you start to get into the thick of January and February, that's when your team can evolve. It can change. There's so many teams in the Big Ten a year ago that sort of went through their ups and downs like a Michigan and then found their way at the end to be playing as well as anyone in the country. And that's because of the competition level they go against. And every win can really catapult you, you know, to momentum. So we'll have a lot of opportunities. It's going to be a difficult challenge, but we're also going to really work hard to develop to be right at the right time of the year, hopefully every year.
Well, Arch, we appreciate a couple of minutes. Know how busy you are. Good luck, obviously, getting ready for the summer recruiting period and with summer school and, you know, off-season workouts. Appreciate a couple minutes.
Thanks, John.
We'd like to thank Indiana head coach Archie Miller for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. Once again, we are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, I want you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the internet. And get this, they are currently offering our listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. All you have to do is go to audible.com/CH today and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs. Download a title free and start listening. It's that easy. Audible has an outstanding collection of exclusive original short stories and comedy, plus the best of news podcasts and more. Handpicked and continuously refreshed, you can even switch back and forth between reading and listening to the audiobook across many devices, including Amazon's Kindle and Echo. without ever losing your place or missing a word. So that's visiting audible.com/CH today to enjoy a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. That's audible.com/CH today. And now it's time for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions. I'll get to them. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. Our first question comes from Emerigo, and it's, John, with Raleigh Alkins returning, does Arizona have any competition for the number one ranking entering next season? Look, Raleigh Alkins' decision to return to Arizona on Sunday completely changed the landscape of the top of the preseason polls next year. I give a slight edge to Michigan State right now as the top team entering next season, but I think Arizona right there in 1-2. And again, I will reveal all that Thursday on social media, on Twitter, and next week right here on the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Our next question comes from Nathan Diltzens. John, who do you think is the favorite in the American Conference next year, Cincinnati, SMU, or Wichita State? Look, Wichita State and Cincinnati I have right now at 1A and 1B. Cincinnati, of course, returning several key pieces from this past season's team that won 30-plus games and did an unbelievable job under Mick Cronin. What I'm curious to see is, how does Wichita State handle the night-in, night-out competition of the American Conference? Because obviously what we saw the past couple years is the Shockers ran through the Missouri Valley like a chainsaw through butter. How do they handle not just taking on Cincinnati, but taking on Houston, taking on Central Florida, taking on Temple? These are the things right now that you're trying to decipher if you're getting ready to look at Wichita State moving forward. Now that we've got you set with your social media questions and answers, it's time for some nuggets.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one. As I mentioned earlier, the NBA draft deadline is coming. One thing you have to look at is the balance, really, of North Carolina's season will be right now clarified in the next 2 days, because North Carolina is going to find out if Tony Bradley will return to school or stay in the NBA draft. If Tony Bradley returns to North Carolina, the Tar Heels have an excellent chance to go to the third straight Final Four. If he doesn't, there is a major, major void in that front court. Nugget number two, Missouri loading up. Konzo Martin, the newly minted head coach of the Tigers, added another elite freshman last week in Jeremiah Tillman, who initially committed to Illinois. Jeremiah Tillman joining Michael Porter Jr., the probable and potential number one pick in the 2018 NBA draft. Missouri, again, continuing the narrative. The bottom of the SEC in basketball is catching up to the middle. Nugget number three, Shaka Shock. Texas last week added Mo Bamba. Again, another guy who's got a chance to be one of the top picks in the 2018 NBA draft. He will replace Jared Allen. And again, as much as people are talking about Mo Bamba, you can't forget my opinion about another member of Texas's freshman class, and that's point guard Matt Coleman. You know, watching Texas last season, the big thing that you noticed, regardless of the game, regardless of obviously the opponent, was how Texas struggled to run offense. How about this for a statistic? Last year as a team, Texas had 377 total team assists to 443 turnovers. That ratio will drastically change with Matt Coleman, who should get the keys to the car in Austin as soon as he steps on campus. I'm not saying that Matt Coleman is Lonzo Ball, because he's not. He's not that type of a pro prospect. But I don't think it's really out of the realm of possibility that Matt Coleman could do for Texas what Lonzo Ball did for UCLA in terms of turning around a program in 1 year. Remember, the year before Ball got to campus, UCLA was just 15-17. Nugget number four, all eyes on Biggie. This is what I can tell you right now as we inch closer to the NBA draft deadline. Caleb Swanigan, the big man from Purdue, who was as productive as any big man we can remember in quite some time last season, is seriously thinking about coming back to school for his junior year. Now, what's hanging in the balance right now? Swanigan does not have a guarantee that he's a first-round pick. So if you're Caleb Swanigan, if you come back to school, you're not giving up guaranteed money, because right now there is not a promise in the first round that you're going to go off the board. What happens if Caleb Swanigan returns to Purdue? The Boilermakers are a top-five team and have a legitimate chance to go to a Final Four and win a national championship under Matt Painter. Monitor that one closely. Meanwhile, nugget number five, what is the latest with the Brian Bowen sweepstakes? Obviously, this is the five-star forward who can really light things up from the wing, who was considering Arizona, Michigan State, and Creighton. This is what I'm going to tell you on Brian Bowen. When Rolly Hawkins announced on Sunday that he was returning to Arizona for his sophomore season, we got significant clarity in a lot of directions. Now, why do we have significant clarity? Arizona's recruiting was a mystery over the past couple of weeks because they were looking at three different players to potentially fill a starting spot alongside Alonzo Trier next season. Brian Bowen, Cameron Johnson, the grad transfer from Pitt, and also Rolly Hawkins. Since Rolly Hawkins went back to school, Arizona has starters set on the perimeter. So that kind of, I think, in my opinion, eliminates the Wildcats from having a real chance to land Bowen. So where does Bowen wind up? I'm hearing Oregon and DePaul are the top two teams on the board. Of course, DePaul just hired his former high school coach, Shane Harriman, from La La Mer. So the Blue Demons are trying to land Bowen, which would be a major coup for their program. Oregon, though, again, trying to retool for next season. And when you watch Brian Bowen, I have to tell you, the player that he really reminds me of is Dylan Brooks. Would like to thank Indiana head coach Archie Miller for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.